I hope that this is taken the right way. I'm trying to open up with some levity this week. I'm looking for a dime. That's top of the line. Cute face, slim waist with a big behind. I need a dime. That's top of the line. Cute face, slim waist with a big behind. You want this money, then you gotta be a bad bitch. Check that ass for a tip if you a bad bitch. Jump it down to the floor if you a bad bitch. Hey, oh, she ain't no bad bitch. Thank you.
Yeah, you brought the energy today. I you know what? I liked it that. I think it's wildly inappropriate for the subject matter of the film.
It is.
I think it's wildly inappropriate, but it was fun.
It is most certainly inappropriate, but I couldn't think of any way else to bring us in this week after finishing my watch of this particular film.
And you landed on, I'm looking for a dime. Your mind. Wow.
I think every week before we record, the universe gives me signs about like what I should do for our cold open. So I'm really giving, I'm really giving y'all behind the scenes right now. So this week on Monday at the warm down song after my spin class, they played Bad, you know, by Ying Yang Twins featuring Mike Jones. And then it clicked to me. On Tuesday evening, after I finished watching this film, I said, oh my God, that's our cold open. And so I've been waiting for 24 hours to do that here.
Wow.
With you,
you know, Sydney,
listener homegirls.
I know I find every way to talk about churchy stuff, but like, this is literally how the pastor explains how the scripture came to him.
Yes, exactly.
Every Sunday. He goes, and you know, I had another message planned, but while I was out at my spinning class, my wife makes me go up there, they played this song.
Hard
enough. And it just put that on your spirit, huh?
Put it on my spirit. me and God, we commune and spin every 3 times a week. And he brought that one to me this week. Yeah.
Nice. And I love that he chose to use the Ying Yang Twins in his message to you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as a vessel. So let's tell our listener homegirls what we watched this week.
Yes. This week we tuned into Dormouse, currently available to stream on Hulu, released last year, 2023, written and directed by Avon Jogia and starring Haley Law and Keith Powers.
All right, let's start the show.
Chitlin' Circuit.
Welcome back to the new Chitlin' Circuit, the only podcast dedicated to Black indies only. My name is Lex.
And I'm Sid.
And each week we watch a Black independent movie. Why? Because we love them. And this week we're going to get started like we do every week with our 60-second challenge where I tell you the plot of the movie in 60 seconds or less. And Sydney's going to hold me to that or less.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Real strict around here.
Very. Then we'll get into our general thoughts on the film. And after that, we'll talk about the film in detail. Sid, how do we end every episode?
Each and every week, we end every episode with my favorite award. We nominate somebody for our highly coveted Who Came to Act Award. And at the end of this season, only one of those many, many actors, only one now, will be named our Who Came to Act winner for the season.
All right, let's get started with our 60-second challenge.
Yes, this week's challenge is brought to us by the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. Shout out to Daisy and them.
All right. Let's do the show, girl.
Okay, let's start the clock now. Go.
Okay. In Canada, there's a girl named Mouse, okay? And she works at a burlesque club. And she also draws comics. And she's drawing this comic series that's like this like erotic horror series, but it's not selling. And while she's just doing her day to day, girls start going missing from her burlesque club, her coworkers. So she goes on this like mystery hunt down of these girls with her friend whose name is Ugly. And the owner of the burlesque club's name is Mama. So Mouse has to go through all these loops and channels and ends up uncovering a conspiracy going on in the city for rich and powerful people to be snatching up girls and using them as you know what. So Mouse tries to take down this big organization, even though she ain't got nothing to her name but a pack of cigarettes. And I'm done.
Oof, cut it close. One yeah. second left on the clock.
I mean, I wanted to put that cigarettes almost, thing yeah. in there.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
Okay. But I did it, though, this week. I'm still good. I'm still good. I didn't go over 60 seconds, so I'm feeling good about it.
Hey, listen, no sweat off my back. All right.
Yeah. Now that we know what went on in the movie, I'm excited to talk about it. This is kind of like a, I think what the film bros would call a neo-noir.
Yeah,
flick. It is. Noir.
Yeah. Noir.
So, yeah, we're going to go ahead and get into that right after the break.
Yeah, we'll be back. All right, y'all. Before we get into our general thoughts on Dormouse, wanted to first shout out filmmaker Aristotle Torres, who's behind the movie Story Ave that we reviewed a few weeks ago. If you haven't, go check out the review and watch the film. Really great movie. We enjoy talking about it here. He just left us some kind moments on Twitter. So shout out to you, Aristotle. We really enjoyed the film and your work. Looking forward to seeing more from you in the future. And from any other filmmakers out there, writers, actors, we love hearing from you guys. If you listen to our review or if you're just a fan of the show, let us know. You know, we're friendly. Might even get a little shout out here because, listen, Aristotle is now officially, whether he knows it or not, is a friend of the show. So if you want that title, I'm just saying, you know, let us know and we'll keep you posted. But anyway, y'all, let's get back to the episode.
So Sid, what did you think of Dormouse?
First off, I thought the movie was really, really cool. This is a movie that like 17-year-old me in the depths of Tumblr would have had to watch and reblogged like so many different like GIFs from this movie. So That girl who's still here inside of me would have just, oh man, this is just so, you guys don't get it. This is dark. This is cool stuff. She would have loved that movie. So shout out to her
for coming back. Because tonight is the night that I will find you.
It's very rare.
Yeah. Oh my God, please.
So that's just like off rip. I finished the movie. I said, well, damn, that was a cool way to tell that story because it is a really dark story. But there are some interesting elements in how they portrayed what went on throughout the film. And number two, this reminded me of, so like growing up, me and Courtney, like on a Saturday afternoon, if we didn't have an activity to go to that Saturday or like, I don't know, there was no birthday party or whatever, we would literally just sit in the house and find, insert random movie on demand. And we watched like 5 or 6 movies in a day and just never had seen before. So, you know, a little 11 and 8-year-old kid just sitting in the house watching movies all day. And this reminded me of, not subject matter wise, but like kind of aesthetically a little bit. And just like that feeling of like, y'all don't know nothing about this. Like if you had to be there to see it. I don't know if you've heard of a film called Tank Girl. It came out in like the late 90s, mid to late 90s. Okay.
No, I don't know. Who's in that?
It's like a Lori Petty. She's in it. There was, I don't know how far you got in Orange is the New Black, but she was like one of the quirky characters they added, like those final
the
2-3
second
seasons.
They did that to my girl Pusey, I was out.
I think Lori was there when that happened because it was when they got an influx of prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
She, white girl, buzz cut, looks like Ellen. That's this one who I'm describing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I've seen this person. Yes. I know who you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. She's in the movie. I think even like Ice-T. Was in Tank Girl. But anyway, it's just a futuristic type movie, just very like kind of quirky about like a future society and how things go wrong. And it's Tank Girl, her friend, and like these other rebels, and they go to kind of like take down the system, basically, was the movie. Really cool movie. We had like watched this and said, damn, why this ain't, you know, get no promotion? And it's because you find out, oh, this came out in 1995. That's why. I wasn't alive to see it.
Predates
me.
Looks
a
like it
bit.
Was based on a comic book.
Yes, and that was my second point. Also, like with that comic book like tie-in that we see a lot of in Dormouse. It just, I don't know why my brain just went back there immediately and just made me think of, damn, I kind of like want to just go through which what we do here on the show every week, but just like find, insert, random movie, watch, and talk about it. So for that reason, yeah. Shout out to Dormouse for giving me back that nostalgic feeling of just discovering a movie and then happening to like actually enjoy it. So those are my roundabout thoughts. What did you think of Dormouse?
I love that because it kind of has like a emotional and like a personality connection for you.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I love that. I saw a comment on Letterboxd when I logged this on my Letterboxd that I was like, that's exactly how I feel about this movie. The comment said, I think I respect this movie more than I like this movie. You know?
Yeah.
So I think some of the components of this film, I think some of the components of this film worked so good. They were like perfect little morsels, like biting that off, like picking that up, nibbling it off the plate. Like, that was perfect. It was a perfect bite. Particularly the film as a neo-noir film. I really like the cheesy narration where Mouse is like, so I walked down the street and the coffee was no good. And then, like, it's just, it's ridiculous.
Another day, and bad coffee and a cigarette.
Yeah. And listener homegirl, if you're wondering, like, what is noir? This is a film genre like that episode of SpongeBob where he loses his name tag and he loses his identity because he can't find his name tag for work. And there's that clip where he's sitting in a diner alone on a dark and rainy night with a steamy hot cup of coffee. And he goes, I lost something once. That's noir. And that's what this film is.
Cultural tie-in right there. Let's bring that was good.
I lost something once. So that part, I loved it. And I love the comic elements, the animation, the like like illustrations. I thought that was great. I felt just completely disconnected from the characters though. And I think it had to do a bit with the dialogue. I thought that outside of Mouse, because it makes sense why she was talking like that. But other people was just like it felt super, super tell and not show in terms of like character and personality and stuff. So I found it hard to like really, really get into it. But as you said earlier, I agree with it. This would have been platinum on my Tumblr blog in 2012. It would have went diamond on my blog.
Reblogging everything. Like,
pow. Even the terrible dreadlocks they put on Keith Powers, would have been gift set after gift set of him standing there in them little kooky little suits. And I would have just loved it.
It would have been... Reblocks. I just know how people were thinking back then. It would have been pictures of Keith Powers in that zoot suit that he had on most of the movie, and Denzel Washington as X in his zoot suit next to each other.
Why are just you so re-blocked. Correct? And then you know how sometimes they'll put like a filter over a gift set and some words, like some like word art. Yeah, I would have been smashing that reblog button. And I think it really takes something special to recapture that type of aesthetic energy.
It does, especially this far out. Like, because Tumblr ain't been popping in over a decade. I mean, it's no longer with us.
Well, I still use it. It's like going to...
Did they bring it back? I thought they shut Tumblr down.
It was never shut down. It's just not a successful website or business, but for some reason it's still operating just fine. It never shut down.
Well, shout out to you. Shout out to them.
Okay, that went sideways, but I think it's all related into this. It all connects. You know, so I'm so excited, friend. Let's get into. I said it every week, but I mean it this week. I'm so excited to talk about this because there's so much to get into in this movie.
Yes, we do be lying sometimes. We say we're excited, but actually, yeah, this week, lying. I'm going to lie sometimes.
I'm telling the truth today. I'm telling the truth today. Okay, let's do it. Why we play like that? Here on the New Chitlin' Circuit, we like to start with the first scene of the movie, and this one opens up real nice and mysterious. We meet our main character Mouse, who is giving us a narration in just classic noir essence. It's kind of like you can like hear her taking like drags of a cigarette in between like sentences. That's how like you know, casual and like laid back she is.
Yeah.
But she's given us this narration about how something was just wrong in the air, this, mm-hmm. you know, these days. And we see these beads, you know how people hang beads in a doorway?
Yep.
Just swinging back and forth, real eerie. And we know something is not right.
This reminded me of like, old neo-noir films back in the day. And of course, when they finally do set the scene and you go into this dark and cloudy club full of cigarette smoke and we finally see our main character. He looks into the camera and goes, "Hey there. Yeah, want to know how this happened?"
Yeah.
yeah, me and my friend are exactly. Rookie back here, something like that. So
I love that. Yeah. I've known you for so long, I've never heard you do that accent before. I like it.
Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's exactly what Mouse is giving us. So something's a loose here. Something's a loose.
Yeah.
You do it a lot better. And we see, you know, we quickly see the bad omen that she's talking about. Mm-hmm. She opens up the movie. We see her messy ass bedroom. It's like, shit, bitch, you live like
this. It made me anxious. Shout out to the set design, because that whole apartment was a mess. Good God.
It was a mess. Oh. To just have a mattress catty cornered in the Ooh. Middle of your room is crazy. Mm. Just no bed frame.
No bed frame. Sheets askew. Did the pillows even have pillowcases? Oh, girl.
Oh, my God. I don't even know she had pillows.
Probably not, actually. She was laying on that bed flat.
It was scary.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would do if I came back to somebody's, like, house and that's their room.
I'm turning around
it's
immediately.
It's a mess.
I have no questions. I'm the fool because I should have went home. That's yeah. my body. My instincts usually say go home. I should have took myself home.
When I see a mattress just straight down there on the
floor.
Just mattress on the floor.
Yeah.
I just think, but I bet it's damp.
Ooh.
Underneath that mattress. Mm-mm. Ooh, that's all.
Especially
I can think
if we're like the same age. Grow up. Get a bed.
Oh, you got to fix this.
Mm-mm.
That's the only time I will concede to hashtag pushing 30. we're pushing 30, man. You got to get a bed.
Get a bed. Like, this is crazy.
But Mouse is very, I thought the set design of her room was a perfect characterization of the type of person she is. She's so laid back in terms of like responsibility.
Yes.
I think she even says in the movie, responsibility doesn't suit her,
mm-hmm.
doesn't look good on her.
Yeah.
So her room's a fucking mess. And one thing, and there are parts of the dialogue that she delivers that I think are so like snappy and good.
Yeah.
She says, "Every morning I wake up in the afternoon and start my day. I love that.
Honestly, I get it. That's me on a Saturday. I wake up in the afternoon to start my day. So I support
right.
that part of her life. She lives a life of leisure for the most part. She makes just enough money to support
for sure.
Her current day-to-day with that terrible coffee she drinks every morning. That just made me I feel so bitter for Mouse seeing her sip on that nasty coffee. Every scene.
Well, let's talk about the coffee, because that's actually pretty important. That's how she knows, you know, in a noir film, they're like, something's not right.
Yeah.
And the way she knows it is because she wakes up in the morning, which means the afternoon, and she gets a cup of coffee out of this grimy Mr. Coffee machine she has, and it's bad. She has a bad cup of coffee, and she's like, oh, I know this day is going to be bad, because every day I have bad coffee, the day is bad, you know? So we keep seeing throughout the rest of these days that the movie is showing, she has bad coffee every day until the problem is fixed.
Yeah.
So then we can, we see that she gets up, draws her comics every day at her little desk in her apartment. And that's what she does in the afternoons, because in the evenings she goes to a burlesque club called Mama's, and that's what she work at. She does, you know, burlesque. She be dancing and stuff.
Yeah. The owner of Mama's, I would like to point out, because I plan to repeat this phrase for a few more times this review. She kind of looks like an evil Julia Roberts. So I will be calling her evil Julia Roberts.
I thought she looked like a kind Toni Collette.
No. Well, let me put it that way.
Mama is this character named Mama is this, you know, a white lady who owns the club. And so Mouse is there and she's talking to her friend Riz, who also works there at the club.
Yeah, she works there. Mm-hmm. I think so.
And then Mouse's friend Ugly, who is played by Keith Powers, walks in. Yep. I want to start talking about Ugly as a character.
Should we start with the hair?
Yeah, let's start just top to bottom. Let's start with the hair. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is an important segment here. Yeah. What is your wig analysis?
I thought we had reached peak locked wig with Killmonger, Michael B. Jordan,
right,
in Black Panther. Because I think we have all, you know, been in agreement that was a bad wig.
Yeah.
But it was fine. We let it go. But since that film, I've continued to see like poorly constructed or just placed.
Where the niggas at the dress?
Locked wigs. And I don't think that it was necessary for this character. Because the whole point was like, they were calling him ugly, but it's an oxymoron because he clearly not ugly. So he's hot. So like we could have just kept Keith with his regular haircut and it would have still made sense. But the wig was so crazy.
Let me summarize. The wig was a hate crime.
It was. Okay. There we go.
The wig was an act of terror.
Yeah.
It was awful unnecessary. That's number one about Ugly. Number two, I hate that. I hate the ugly thing because I don't think it was clever.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it. I get the idea, but I think something else would have been.
I think it would have made more sense if like Ugly personality or just like his like actual character wise, he had an ugly character. You know, like he was like an awful person, something like that. And I'm like, oh, beautiful person. Ugly activities. That makes sense.
Right.
But he was willing to like follow Mouse to the ends of the earth, like protect her at all costs, you know? So I agree with you. The name just felt like, you know, it's provocative. It gets the people going, was kind of the vibe.
Yeah. My thing next though is racially. So in this movie, the only black people is Keith Powers and Mouse. Mm-hmm. So Ugly and Mouse. And everybody else is white. And, you know, aside from Avon. The director plays a role here. But everybody else is white, which I thought was a little weird because there were so many opportunities for diversity that it felt like it was like, damn, did you intentionally pick white people? Like, this is oddly white cast.
Maybe so. Anyway. All the evil people in the movie were white. So maybe so. Who knows? I don't know.
It's true. But I mean, even Ugly's mama, they could have picked a black lady just fine.
That's like, true. Because nothing about Keith Power screams mixed race. I'm sorry. That's a black man.
Yeah. But it just, I don't know, it made me uncomfortable. This black king, the only one here on the screen, all these white people calling him ugly.
Yeah.
I didn't like that.
Yeah, you're right. I was going to make a really bad joke. God, I'm really growing. In my older age, I'm really growing. Oh, man. I was going to make a Roots joke, but I would do it off mic.
Oh, my God, Sydney.
I would do it off mic.
Yeah, because I'm firmly in my snowflake lib bag right now. I'm in my DEI woke bag.
Hey, don't you call me a DEI. We both here every Monday. So you said kind of language with me.
Yeah. So I thought that was weird. But really, like from a film standpoint, and this is what I want to say because it's going to keep coming up as we talk about the movie. Ugly as a character I did not like the character because I feel like they didn't give him enough.
Yeah.
So like at first I was like, okay, he talks kind of clunky.
He does.
He's soft spoken.
Yeah.
Right. And he seems kind of nice. Okay. So maybe that's his thing. And maybe being a nice guy is his thing. But all those other things, his character was just so not, he was missing like a internal driver.
He was.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and I think that's true for all the characters in this movie. Like, Mouse goes on this whole journey and she has an external desire to find the girls. And we'll talk about that like in a second. But what's really driving her internally? Because I don't buy her as some altruistic like hero.
Robin Hood type character or what was it? Regina King and Watchmen. I forgot what her superhero name was. But it wasn't I agree.
Yeah. And I found Ugly to be like everything. I was like, okay, he's soft spoken. And then halfway through the movie, he's just full of words. Mm-hmm. It's just, I'm like, okay, so maybe that's not it. I don't know who he is as a person. So I had issue. That's what I meant when I said that in my general thoughts. I had a lot of issues with the characters having like true definition and motive.
Phil, that's a good call out.
Yeah. But the vibes end quickly because while they're here at Mama's, we meet everybody at Mama's, but they're like, where's Doe Eyes? So everybody has a weird name in this movie. Yep. Nobody has a normal name. So one of the other burlesque dancers' name is Doe Eyes, and she didn't come in today. So they're like, you know, it's okay. Mouse is like, I'll stop over there and check on her. She lives near me. Mm-hmm. It's no big deal. She probably just, you know, forgot that she was on the schedule today. When they go over there, though, that is not what they find. Mm-mm. You know?
Doe done gone missing.
And Ugly. Doe done gone missing. Exactly.
Yeah.
Mouse and Ugly ride over to Doe's house after leaving Mama's. And Doe is not there. This is where we see them beads swinging in the doorway. Yep. You know, it looks like there's some type of presence there.
Yeah.
You know, like somebody was there because the windows are open and stuff. But they don't see Doe. But what they do see is that Doe is on that stuff.
On that stuff.
Yeah.
Real bad.
And so they see the pipe and all this drug paraphernalia and hard drugs too.
Heroin.
And they see, some of that icky, icky.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys. So not only do they see the drugs, but Mouse is like, why is my art on this drug? Like a little piece of her comic drawing is on there. So she know where this drug came from because she knows the only person selling drugs who has access to her art is this nigga named Mooney. So she got to go see Mooney.
Who's played by Avon Jokia. Mr. Jokia, this makes it across your desk. I read on the Wikipedia that it looks like your name is pronounced Avon? I've been saying Avon since 2010, so excuse me for mispronunciating if that is incorrect. Thank you.
Anybody who is going to be popular with Black people should be fully prepared for their name to be just a little different.
Well, just, a little bit, just a little bit.
Call them.
Yeah.
just a little different. It's like that Key and Peele sketch where they talking about Liam Neeson.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Liam Neeson. Oh, he is so good. Right. Why are we like that?
It's funny. Where is A.A. Ron? Has anybody heard from A.A. Ron?
Yeah, man. So this is actually where Kick starts. And I love the structure of this. Like, it's just a proper, like, mystery type of movie. It is. So
and it's broken up, like, very properly into, like, four acts. So it really keeps the flow going well. So I wasn't like, all right, so what are we going to get into next? Which we've found ourselves in many a times before in a movie that would try to give us, like, the genre said mystery. But I'm just like, okay, now, what's going on next? So I appreciate the pacing of this. It is like a for real solid 90 minutes and they kept us on. We were kept on track. Every like interstitial pop up phase two. All right. What's next part of the plan to find these girls? So shout out to that. That was great. Moved. It moved.
I appreciated that quite a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think I was so harsh on the character stuff. Cause that's really the only thing that I think is wrong with the movie.
Yeah.
Like that's the only deficiency. Cause like the pacing of the story is really good, as you pointed out. So this is our first step. We got to go see Mooney. And one thing I love about the build up into the like flow of the mystery is that every new character that gets introduced, number one, it's great because they all have weird names.
Yeah.
But every time a character's name is spoken for the first time, it kind of has this like build up around it.
It does.
So they're like, you know who we have to go see?
Mooney.
You know? Yeah. So Ugly is like, okay, I'll go over there with you. He's like a Daria character.
He's like a Daria character. I don't know why you said that like that, but yeah.
Because that's how he said it. Okay, I'll go over there with you. Now, what's Shawty's name is Mouse.
Yeah.
She's like, oh no, don't worry about it. I don't need you to drive me over there.
And I knew why immediately.
immediately.
I said, oh, girl, you were not low. What is going on?
And sometimes, because, you know, I don't really do girl like that, uh-huh. but I do love being girl. I'm into being girl when it's being messy. Like, if I was born a dude, I would be the messiest. I would literally have to be told, like, Peter, stop trying to be in women's business. Because I love having an invite to it. I love women's business. And being able to look at Mouse's ass and be like, girl,
we know what's going on. That's why, right. You don't need no backup because you got the backup. Hello.
Please. Okay. Exactly. So Ugly's like, I can take you over there tonight in the morning. She's like, no, I'll go tonight.
Right.
Okay. So she goes over there, sees Mooney, who is played by the ever so dreamy Avon Georgia. Mm-hmm. And you know what they do that evening.
Let's get it on.
But when the sun comes back up, it's morning, and she done slept over there.
I think now Mouse she's back also on wanted the job. A place
she's back on the
where
case.
The bed was elevated because his bed was off the floor.
And he had a nightstand and stuff. Did. You think she just wanted a nice bedroom?
And a nice bedroom. And that had his additional benefits also. But yeah.
Damn. That really says something. If you think Mouse thinks her own house is too messy, it's like,
because how could you not clean it? I felt like Iyanla watching this. Like every time I went back to her apartment, like I wanted to turn to her, slap a desk, not on my watch.
Not on my watch. Is this how you would let a young sister live?
Now look at that picture. Do you think Harriet Tubman kept her home like that, young lady?
Oh
yeah, no.
Yeah, it reminds me of this. I was watching back when, you know, you just used to watch cable, and if you cut on like Comedy Central mm-hmm. in like just daytime, they used to play like, you know, little 30-second comedy specials. Yeah. And I remember one. I don't remember who this was. Who said it? But it was a black man, and he was like, "Yeah, man, I hate it when a girl's house is really messy." I went over to a girl's house one time, and I walked past the bathroom. She didn't even close the door. She was in there peeing. Like what? Like I was like, "I gotta get out of here. This girl is trashy." Like, damn. She didn't even close the door, and when I look in, she is squatting
on her own toilet. Oh, girl.
Oh, and I go, what are you doing? And she says, I can't sit on this mess.
Ew.
And that's the type of living that Mouse is living.
You're right.
Ooh. Yeah.
If so Mouse invited me to her house, I would have called the health department. Because this place needs to be condemned. I'm sorry. This is crazy.
Oh, God. So she gets a nice, clean, and sounds like satisfying mm-hmm. evening at Mooney's house. But she wakes up in the morning. Now she's back on the case. Yeah. now that she got her.
All right, now, Mooney, let's break down this. Let's break down exactly. The facts here. Where last time you saw good old Doe Eyes. Yeah.
Right. So she asked him about Doe Eyes, and I mean, I was surprised that he was so forthcoming. He was like, yeah, I dealt her some little drugs. Mm-hmm. That's true.
About a week ago, but, I saw her. Mm-hmm.
Right. And everybody keeps saying the same thing to Mouse. This is the first time we hear it, yeah. Where he goes, you're asking dangerous questions, Mouse.
Yep.
You need to, you know, just stop. Well, you're stay jets, in your lane.
As they would say. Yeah.
So she gets this piece of information, and it's going to lead us to the next person
yeah.
that we have to see, which is a man named Crawdaddy.
I liked it. This also kind of the way the mystery unfolded here. Remember we did Lovebirds with Issa Rae? That was also like yeah. season one, even though that's a comedy mystery. It was very slapstick, but yeah. the mystery kind of unfolded the same way. They would always get to like the next phase, and they're like, I don't know. Maybe y'all should, you know, cool it down a little bit. Who are you again? Yeah.
Right. Right. And it just keeps getting more and more dangerous. Cause like Mooney is just a, you know, low level drug dealers mm-hmm. and she already knows him very intimately.
Very well. Yeah.
But Crawdaddy is a damn trafficker. Mm-hmm. This guy is a pimp and he is no good and he takes advantage of girls. Yes, that's what he does. But they have to go see him because this is a case of a missing girl. Mm-hmm. So they're like, she could be over there at Crawdaddy's, or she, you know,
or he know who got her possibly, because he know all the other,
right,
for lack of better term, players in the game.
Right. So when they regroup, Mouse and Ugly, you know, regroup here, they go back to Mama's the next evening. But now Riz, the nice Irish friend they had that we met in the first scene, is done got snatched too.
Yeah.
Except she got snatched out of Mama's.
Mm-hmm.
They said men in suits driving a white limo came and grabbed her and took her.
Yeah. Everybody's all disheveled. Mama, because Mama's supposed to be protecting these girls, number one. So how did you let this happen, mm-hmm, under your supervision?
Ooh, I didn't even clock that. Because how did she get took out the club? Exactly.
And like, that's when, crazy. At that point, Mama was on my suspect list, number one. Watch the movie. I said, I don't know about that. Because you were so concerned about Doe Eyes just, you know, 5 minutes ago, mm-hmm, in the previous few scenes. And now all of a sudden, another one of your employees, your elite employees, are being snatched from your care, right, in your building. Hmm.
Yeah. And that's why I have to talk about these movies with you, because there is nothing a white woman can do that can get past you.
Never.
You always got your eye clocked on it. Them.
Clocked it immediately. And that's when I started calling her Evil Julia Roberts. I said, something ain't right with her.
Damn. Yeah. Now, they see, Mouse sees that Riz is gone, and she's like, oh my, okay, now this is some serious shit.
Yeah.
Because now we know somebody taking people, because Doe Eyes, we don't know where she went. She could have, I mean, she's on the drugs. We don't know if she's on a bender somewhere, right, you know. But we know Riz was fine, and she got
tucked. She was here last night. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they go to Crawdaddy, because now they have to ask about these missing girls and what he knows. And this is just a skeevy old, like, middle-aged white man who is just...
Yeah. I want to say the costuming for Crawdaddy was perfect. He was real, like, sweaty in his little, like, wife beater t-shirt. I don't know, like, mm-hmm, dark beige pants, just living what looked like a basement area, but real, mm-hmm, dark and dingy. So that was done well. Shout out again to set design and the costume department. Y'all did that.
Yeah, that I actually agree to that quite a lot. Yeah. And he's giving him a hard time, naturally, with the profession he's in. But Mouse manages to convince him, hey, you need to tell us, because this is your problem, too.
Right.
People snatching up girls, given your line of work.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in a classic mystery movie, they have to do something to get the information.
Exactly.
So Crawdaddy says, you know, if you want me to tell you, I can give you a name and tell you some stuff I know. But I need you to go shake down this judge and go over there, blackmail him with these photos, have him to text me, and then I'll tell you the information. I was a little disappointed that we didn't actually get to see the shakedown.
Yeah.
I wanted to understand what went on there, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, you're right. I'm just realizing now we didn't see that.
Yeah. But we did see a little background on Ugly. So the way that they were able to find this judge is because it turns out Ugly's parents are rich.
Very wealthy.
And his dad is like an attorney. So his dad knows the judge. So he has to go to his parents' house to get the judge's information.
Yeah.
Where they run into his mama and they just tear up that lady's house.
They do. that was a funny little segment. It was it just felt like, I don't know. Yeah. It was a nice little tidbit, like
middle
fingers up
house.
To the rich, I guess. Oh, yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was just, oh my God, you're literally, like, you're fully stepped back into, like, a cool, edgy teenage Sydney right now.
I told you.
Like, it's provocative.
It's provocative.
Like, fuck the rich,
right?
Like, you don't get it.
This movie took me back to 17-year-old me. She would have ate this up.
You were, like, fully in your, like, Occupy Wall Street.
I am.
Right now.
I really am.
Yeah, man.
You know, I got up to Howard that first week, and I went marching. I lied to my parents and said I ain't go, but I went. I thought it was for a good reason.
You lied?
I did. They're going to find out now. They listen to the show, but it's fine. I did go down there and march to the monuments. It was for a good reason. I'm up here at Howard. okay, I got to march with my fellow students.
Yeah. I did some marching that fall because there was a lot to be marching about. It still is. Yeah. But I think the first time I ever questioned myself and where I was and the decisions I was making, I'll tell a quick anecdote, was they had that first, you know, they had like a Million Man March. It wasn't a million. It wasn't quite like the original, but they had that in like 2016, right?
I think I remember that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Could have been 15. Yeah, it might have been 15, 2015, the summertime.
Yeah.
And I was working full time at the Segway tour place where I was giving Segway tours on the monument.
That's a part of your life that has not come up on the show yet. So this is great.
Yeah. That's what I used to do. It was such a small world down there. DC is small, period. Yeah. Any industry in DC is small. But the Segway tour industry is really small because it's only three companies that did it. And across those three companies, it was three black Segway tour guys in the whole city.
That is crazy.
Me and my friend and coworker, Alex, at the time. Uh-huh. And it was one black man at another company. How do I know? Because we saw each other.
All the time.
All the time. Like, what's up, brother? You stay up. Anyway, so when marches and stuff like that happened on the Capitol, we would still have to give the tours. And I ran into my homeboy from high school. His name is Tavon. And he was going, I went to Howard and he went to Bethune-Cookman. So just kind of like split ways. And he literally goes, Lex, mind you, I'm on a Segway with eight white people behind me, guiding them through a sea of thousands of niggas. And I happen to see one nick, like,
who knows you?
Today a nigga got to see me. Yeah, I know. And I got this fucking goofy helmet on, guiding these white, and white people are already scared. So we standing in literally, they did not know that this event was going on. Oh, we standing in 100,000 niggas. Mm-hmm. And some, my Tavon is 6'3". Okay,
big,
also
big boy.
Keep that in mind.
That's a big boy.
Very big. And yeah, he just walks right up on us. And I go, what's up, man? And I lose myself for a minute. And I turn around and I see these white people. They're like, oh,
clutching
my God,
their pearls.
Are we getting
set up?
Are we getting mugs? Set up?
Does she have us set up?
So that was one of the first times I said, I think I'd think about my choices because
you should have took off.
Or
that
maybe
day.
Just manage my schedule.
Yeah.
Better.
Yeah.
I didn't know what was going on either.
Oh, dang. That you also wasn't. I mean, I guess if this was the Million Man March, they wasn't, you know, hitting us with advertisements on Instagram at that point. So how are we supposed to know?
Yeah. that was an aside about my time.
Well, shout out to your friend being named Tavon, because we also got Avon, who did the movie. It all relates.
Close enough. Close enough. So, yeah. Oh, that's because we were talking about radical.
Right. Yeah. Being, you know, being young and rawr, back in, yeah, you know.
So, now they go over there and they're able to shake the judge down. So they go back to Crawdaddy's place, right?
Yeah.
And give him what he needs. And this is where they get a vital piece of information. Crawdaddy finally tells them, hey, it's some people over at the Sophia Hotel, right? They rich, rich, rich. That's where the rich, rich, rich people is.
Yep.
And they have crazy, nasty sex parties over there. Real, he says, real dark stuff.
Real dark
what
stuff.
Do you think he means when people say real dark stuff about a sex party? What are they talking about? Do you think furries?
Oh, is that dark? Is that dark? That's just okay. Because
I think that's just kind of weird.
It's just weird, yeah. Because I've already kink shamed the furries on this show, so I won't double down.
yeah, like, yeah. I guess. I mean, the only things I can think of are just kind of like nasty, like gross stuff.
I guess
maybe
so,
you know.
Because I'm like, ew.
Yeah. So I mean,
and I guess
obviously,
the dark
like,
stuff because all these
selling
all, yeah,
sex
so like, all
yeah.
these people dark. Are. Being made to participate in this against their will. So that's the dark part also.
Right. So they get this information, right? And Mouse has now set herself out on a mission to get snatched herself.
Yes.
So that she can go see what is really going on. Because Ugly tries to go in there, but he don't have no ticket to the party.
He don't. And so them locks are just, yeah. It's just a huge, like, Now, what is this boy doing in here with that wig? That's what I would have said if I was in there trying to have me a little drink or something. So,
bye wig.
What are you doing with that on? Who invited this jigaboo to the function is what I would have said. Oh, my God.
Don't you know this is an all-white party?
Okay. So, he just is a sore thumb with that wig on. If he had it, you know. Anywho, I rest my case.
Thank you. So, Mouse does everything she can. She is walking in dark alleys. She's standing out in the street by herself. She's doing everything she can do to get abducted. And so she finally sees a man in a suit pull up in a white limo, and they come snatch her. Now, whoa.
Yeah.
Because I was flabbergasted because the movie kind of ramps up.
It escalated very, like the third act in this movie before we get a resolution escalated very quickly. I was like, oh, okay, wait a minute. Yeah. Now she's in? Oh, shit. What's the plan? How to go get her back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this was a very, because by this time we know that they have these people mm-hmm. took Riz and they done killed Riz and disposed of her body, like it made like framed somebody else for her murder. Mm-hmm. So Mouse is, we know the stakes now because these people is killers too.
Yeah, don't care.
So Mouse wakes up in this hotel room and she has an onboarding note that. Hey, you're being trafficked.
Yep. You're about to get put on the auction. Yeah. Peace and blessings to you. May the odds be ever in your favor. See you soon. Was the vibe.
What the hell?
Yeah.
So Mouse is not shaking though. You know, the man in this damn paper mache mask comes and gets her out of the room and they all lined up in the hallway, her and all the other people who done been snatched.
I want to put a pin here because I think I got it. We talked about earlier trying to figure out Mouse's inner motivation to do this. And I think you put the nail on the head when you were just talking about, you know, just like wanted to be in the mess, be messy. I just think Mouse is nosy and she needed something to shake it up her life instead of waking up every day at 1:30, having coffee and a cigarette. This got her going for a little while. She needed that kind of new energy. To keep going. And I guess to write her comic book. That's another part of the story.
Oh, that's true. Because her comic books wasn't selling.
Yeah.
But when she started writing about this journey to find the girls and stuff, mm-hmm. then people got interested.
Yep. And they're flying off the
shelves. So maybe
she
was doing it for the plot.
I think she's doing it for the plot. It's all mess. Like, Mouse, I see you.
Just being messy.
It's messy.
Yeah. So she's standing out there in the hallway. They got them all in these little underwear and stuff.
All
these people
have
been abducted. Just shivers down my spine.
Yeah.
And she does see Doe Eyes. She's like, there's Doe Eyes. And so the thing that kind of clicks into my head is the person next to her, Mouse, is whispering, like, how did you get here? And the person next to her is like, I got somebody sold me here.
Yeah.
Who sold you? And Mouse is like,
sold.
Sold. Interesting. Right. Okay. So they go to the auction block and these, it was a cool little choreographed scene. Everybody's being like, you know, they buying people
for the
night and stuff.
The setup was cool. There's a spotlight. There's all the girls are up on the stage. You see their buyers in these very creepy, disturbing pig mask. But when they brought up each girl on like, and here's our next auction item. Ugh. Spotlight shines on the it was a well choreographed scene, but it was very like, oh my god, the hell going on here?
Right.
Yeah.
Now Mouse gets bought and I could tell it's a brown hand, so I'm like, okay, this is a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And when she gets to her hotel room, it's Mooney,
yeah,
who came and like, you know, was in on the plan. So they try and break out of here, get Doe Eyes. You know, they kill one of these Johns and running out, and the pig men coming to get them. They running, and they escape. But now you got to leave for real because these people they got goons.
They got goons, and they've seen your face. So they know where to find you. Clearly, it's a small town, like whatever city in Canada that they're in. So they're going to get you, girl. Mm-hmm. You need to keep your head on the swivel.
Yeah. They get back, they go back to Mama's, and Mama is oddly not very jovial.
Not shook in at all to see Doe. Yeah. Mm, she's alive. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah. Mouse is still at this stage of the movie. She done saved a friend.
Yep.
She is still a dog with a bone.
Not satisfied.
Trying to like do more.
Yeah.
Cause she's like, oh, I have to do more. Me personally, I would have made an anonymous phone call to the authorities. Uh-huh. And left
town. Absolutely. She don't have nothing to her name anyway.
You, you just went undercover to rescue this girl. You've done more than enough.
Hit the streets. Get out of Dodge. Yeah. No. Yeah. Same.
But Mouse thinks she needs to go. And
this 911 is some really freaky shit happening around here. I need y'all to send your best and brightest. Okay? I can't give you my name. I'm on the run.
Yeah, that's all they would have got from me too. So Mouse goes back in there to try and find the leader because she knows the leader of this trafficking syndicate is the Dame.
Yep.
Right? She goes in there and the Dame is this, powerful white lady, and she done killed Mooney.
I thought at first that was Sally Langston. It was not her. Different white woman.
That's what you think Sally Langston would be doing right now.
She looked like they look alike. I said, oh, I'm not Lovers of Liberty.
Lovers of Liberty.
But it was not Ms.
What is her actual name?
Her name is Kate Burton. She's actually Hollywood royalty, apparently.
That's what I'm saying. Why would she just she's doing kooky indie roles?
Hey, everyone wants to do one at some point. Yeah.
So Mouse goes there and sees they done killed Mooney because Mooney was working with them, like selling them drugs, right? So that's how
to keep these girls like docile throughout this process, et cetera. Yeah.
So the Dame shows Mouse a dead Mooney, and Mouse is like, so I mean, tough for that guy,
right?
Trying to like keep a stone face. But the deal here is that the Dame is like, okay, we let you go. Just to let you know, we let you go.
We let you go. We know who you are.
And the reason is you and your friend need to get out of town and you're not going to come back here. If you do, I'm going to go ahead and kill you.
Yep.
But I want to keep you alive because I can spot talent.
Right.
You know, and I think you might be able to, it's eat or be eaten.
Mm-hmm.
And you look like an eater to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was also purposeful note here because she threatened to scalp Ugly. I think that line was purposeful. They was trying to cut the wig off.
I can't dispute that. Okay.
Y'all go look at the wig. I just want to know who did the wig. That's all I want to know. I'm gonna look at the entire casting credits because I just need to figure that out.
Yeah. So we get a twist here because the Dame is like, Mouse is kind of standing on business and acting like she's, she's got everybody she needs and all this stuff, my friends, my community. And the Dame is like, girl, who do you think sold Riz and Doe Eyes to me?
Who else has access to them, girl? Let's put one and one together. Mm-hmm. Hello.
Mm-hmm. And that's when we realize.
The evil Julia Roberts. She was in on it.
Mama, the owner of Mama's, the owner of the burlesque club where all of the girls worked, was selling them into with these traffickers, and literally is the reason that Riz is dead.
Yep.
So Mouse takes this information, goes back to Mama's, and does this long. Now here's the thing. I did not like the movie felt like it had trouble landing on its feet.
It
because we have like back to back like monologues of like
and standoffs.
They're like three
standoffs in the movie. Basically, it's Mouse and Mama, Mouse and Ugly, and then Mouse and the Dame to like get us to the final. Yeah,
it was too much.
Yeah,
it was too much. So Mouse confronts Mama, kills her ass. Yep. I guess she deserved that, but I don't see why you would. If you're not a killer, it's really no reason to just become one.
Well, she did shoot a few of them pig men, so I guess now she a killer. She got bodies now.
I guess so. I forgot about yeah. She did pop some of them suckers.
She
did
pop some of them. So she got the little blicky. She was with pop pop.
So she does that, and then her and Ugly have this like standoff, which is like okay. And she tells him, "Just go on, get on the train, right. Please.
I'll be there.
Get on the train out of town.
Yeah,
go away, please."
But it was very much, "Get the hell out of here, man. Just leave. Just go. I don't want you over here anymore." It's very much that.
But she stands him up, you know, at the train station because she is back trying to take down the dame. Mm-hmm. Trying, you know, good old fashioned takedown.
Yeah. And she does just that. She, in broad daylight, well, not broad daylight, it's nighttime, but she walks into the club where they first confront the judge and shake him down. And she shoots the dame in front of a room of people. And of course, there's some blood that splatters back on her face because of the distance of the shot. And the credits roll with like that very rock music.
I'm so old and black. Every time I love watching the credits of movies.
Yeah.
But by the time we got to the cast list, I said, I got to turn this noise off.
I turned it all the way down because it shocked me a little. It was a shock to my system a bit. I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah, it's unsettling. Yeah. Where's the bass? Yeah, you know.
Not you wanted to tell. What's my homegirl? You gotta be good. You gotta be good. You gotta be wiser. Yeah, in the movie.
Something like that. Uplifted. It's something just, I don't, the older I get, man.
Oh my God.
I'm fully like, you know, just like a black parent going to see a free jazz concert in the park. I'm fully just that now. You know what's on the top of my mind these weeks, past few weekends? I got to get me some chairs so I can have in my car. So you can stop by the park
and have your lawn chairs in the car. Oh my God.
I got to see.
We are not there in our lives. I support you, friend, but we are not there yet. We just aren't.
It's what I've been thinking about. I'm like, I don't want to buy them new, you know, eco-friendly. Mm. Let me see if I can get some ones at the Goodwill or something. Mm. Just so I can have me a place to sit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
the
music was
you can stand a little bit.
I can stand, but it's going to be comfortable. Needless to say, this is very much for the young, punks.
Yeah. You want to shave your head and dye it pink? Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, watch this.
Rock on, man. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, very enjoyable. Do you have any final thoughts before we get into the awards?
No additional final thought. Yeah, no, we can wrap it up. Yeah, I thought I had something, but no.
Okay, cool. Well, Sydney, who came to act?
Yeah, well, we're going to keep it simple this week. For this week's nomination, myself on the board, we'd like to nominate Miss Haley Law, who played Mouse, for our Who Came to Act award. Stay tuned towards the end of the season because now she's in the running to possibly win. So we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to be talking about this movie at the end of the year. This is because, you know, we give out awards for films, mm-hmm. you know. I think this is going to be a contender for one because it was very creative.
It was. I think this is, I'm just saying it the whole time. I think this was Avon's directorial debut. So
it was.
Shout out. Okay, it was, right.
So it was a victorious debut.
It was a victorious debut, if you will. Yes.
Yeah.
Ba-da-ta. Ba-da-ta.
Okay. Well, let's get out of here.
All right. We'll see y'all next Monday.
Thanks for listening. To join in on the conversation, meet us in the Twitter streets at TNCCpod or over on Instagram at New Chitlin Circuit, spelled CHITLIN. And to keep up with our latest, visit our website at thenewchitlincircuit.com.